G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 206, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without the support of our patrons, we simply could not be bringing you this podcast each and every week commercial free. So thank you to all members of the Patreon community, and thank you to all those you people that have been joined in the last couple of months. There's quite a few of you, so you know who you are, so thank you so much for that. So today we're just going to do a bit of Q&A that have been sent in as we get going for the year. I've just recorded a bunch of podcasts with some really great people. They're in the editing suite at the moment, so they'll be rolled out in the next few weeks. So we've got quite a few questions here to get through, so I'll just pick a few of them which are important. And some of them are beginner questions, and some of them are more advanced, if you like. So the first one is clean fasting. What is it? Okay, so a clean fast is just this. We want to fast clean for various reasons. We want to keep our insulin low. We want to give our bodies a rest from digestion, our organs a rest from digestion. We want to give ourselves a chance to heal within without spiking our insulin. We don't want to be taking calories on board to do that. So by a clean fast, what we're doing during a fasting period is the only thing we're having is water, plain sparkling water, plain black coffee, plain black tea, or plain green tea. Now, that's it. We don't have things like butter in your coffee or bone broth that you hear people talk about. Those things, if you're doing that, you're simply not fasting at all. What you're doing is you're calorie restricting because you're still having calories during your fasting period and you'll be spiking your insulin. So we want that clean fast to get the maximum benefits of that. You can read a fair bit about the clean fast and the groups and that sort of thing, and particularly the Fasting Highway. Okay, can I brush my teeth while fasting, Graham? Well, I hope so, because I certainly wouldn't want to be around people that don't brush their teeth. Look, oral hygiene is important, and I think it's so brief. And I've talked about this with other people in podcasts, including Jin Stevens, and Jin brushes her teeth just like everybody else does. You're putting that little bit of toothpaste on, you're brushing around your teeth, you know, and then you're spitting it out, and then that's it. So the insulin response is very, very brief. But it's really important that we keep up our oral hygiene with our intermittent fasting journey. But so all means brush your teeth, please. Graham, why do you say a lot that you eat what makes you feel your greatest and not what your mind wants? Well, simply because eating what my mind wanted got me to the stage where I was up to 160 kilos, 357 pounds. That was eating what my mind wanted. Eating what made me feel my greatest reverted that, and I was able to get that weight off my body. I think in terms of, it comes down for me, the word value comes into it because I value my fast so much. And I think when I value the eating window as much, you can really see what that means because it takes a lot of effort for that fasting period, right? And some of us are fasting 16, 18, 20 hours and beyond a day. Some people are doing ADF out there, doing 36, 42-hour fasts. So that's a lot of effort. So for me, I have to value that time that I'm doing that and what I'm putting into it. So when it comes to the eating window, I want to eat things that make me feel good. I want to eat things that make me feel great. And there's a lot of foods and beverages that simply don't. They don't agree with me. For many years, I'd be going to bed stuffed, overstuffed, eating terrible foods, highly processed junk, and I'd feel terrible. It didn't make me feel great. But now I tend to eat whole, clean foods. You know, I go to bed at night, I rest well, I get up, I feel energized. And so that's eating what makes me feel my greatest. I don't eat things that don't make me feel great anymore. Simple as that. Because if I followed my mind and my mind said, hey, Graham, go and get some ice cream, go and get some donuts, go and get this, go and get that, then that's what I would do, because that's what I was doing when I was obese. But then I was able to revert it and get the weight off my body. Now my body is control of the mind, not the other way around. So that's why I say that. And honestly, it's not till you feel great that you even know what feeling great feels like. And that comes from eating what makes you feel great, I feel. And over time, I've really felt that that wheel has turned for me when I went from that eating what my mind wants to eating what makes me feel my greatest. So that's why I say that. And purely and simply, it makes me feel great, the food that I eat. Graham, have you ever wanted a whole day where you just didn't fast and all you did was eat all day and have snacks like you used to? No. I know that some forums and that sort of thing have things what they call cheat days and all the rest of it. But no, I don't want to do that. I really don't. All I know is about intermittent fasting is that once you start and you live this lifestyle for some time, it would be very hard to go back to eating all day and having snacks, constantly spiking your insulin. You know, I just can't see myself ever doing that. And I don't feel like it. And my body is now so in tune with just eating the once a day that I do. Then no, I don't feel I could do that. I mean, I do eat twice a day sometimes, mainly on the weekends, or if I'm on vacation, I might be a bit more flexible. But the thought of eating all day and then having snacks in between, no. And even when I do eat twice a day, I don't normally snack in between. I just have a brunch and then I may have a light dinner. So no, that doesn't come into my mind. Graham, how do you personally handle your holidays and events and that sort of thing? Okay, well, for me, I just come back from two holidays, so I could speak from experience about that. One was a month to France. I was there for the Rugby World Cup last year. Thoroughly enjoyed it. France is a fantastic country. The food is amazing. I can't tell you how great the food is there. I could have gone crazy. I could have got up in the morning, eaten all day there at the beautiful boulangeries and patisseries around Paris. But no, I didn't, because I simply didn't feel like that and my body wasn't in tune to eating then. So normally most days I was fasting till at least lunchtime. So I was still doing 16 and 8 most days. That's what I aim for. Some days it might be 14 and 10 if I've got my wife with me and she wants to have a late morning brunch or something like that. I'll do that for away on holidays. But it's also important to know that life's to be lived. We're not in boot camp here. You know, we have to be able to enjoy ourselves to be sustainable. So sometimes we know that we may increase our weight while we're away. One of the ways I try to mitigate that is by moving more. I'll walk quite a bit, because I do that anyway when I go on holidays, even when I was obese, I used to do that, but maybe not as easily as I do now. My rule of thumb with travel is 2 blocks down and one around the corner. And that's where I found that I was discovering all the great things about Paris and down the side streets and around the block. And sometimes those blocks were pretty long. So I was getting up to 30,000 steps a day. So yeah, drinking lots of water, being active, you know, go out and do a bit of a boogie, go to a place that's got some live music, get up on the dance floor and rip into it. And yeah, it's great fun. And you know, we're on holidays, we're here to enjoy ourselves and life's to be lived. But yeah, certainly don't get too wound up about holidays. I know the first vacation I went on, I was very apprehensive. My intermittent fasting journey when I went to Japan, you've heard me talk about putting the scales in my suitcase. I was that sort of worried about it. My wife threw them out. Yeah, but now I don't even think about it. I just go on a vacation and enjoy myself, because I know when I come back, going right back to what I'm doing with my intermittent fasting lifestyle, any extra weight I've accumulated on that holiday, and it wasn't a lot, it was about 2 to 3 kilos, 3 to 6 pounds, something like that. And it sort of came off pretty quickly. Unfortunately, I got COVID straight away when I came back, or I might have even had it the tail end of the France holiday. Arrived back here in Australia and I fell crook. And then for the next sort of 10 days, I wasn't really feeling like eating too much. I was in bed and it really knocked me for six. It's the first time I've had COVID. And yeah, I managed to avoid it for 3.5 years, but I was a bit of a sitting duck and traveling and that sort of thing. And there's so many more people in France than what there is here. So why do you say it's a lifestyle and not a diet? Well, pretty simple, really. It is a lifestyle, because you get to the stage where, like, I wake up and I don't even think about, oh, man, I'm fasting. Yeah, I'm fasting. I'm doing a 16 and 8 today, or I'm doing a 21 and 3, or I'm doing a 22 and 2. I don't think about it. I just wake up, go about my day, and now I would say I'm more intuitive. I'm in in tune with my body's true hunger signals, so I know when it's time to eat. My body will tell me, not my mind, my body. So usually that's sort of later on in the afternoon, 4, 5, 5:30, something like that. And then I'll eat till I'm satisfied and full. I eat what makes me feel my greatest, close my window, start again the next day. And, you know, that process of the eating period, I really like to enjoy that. One of the things and the intentions that I've set for 2024 for myself is to digitally disconnect while I'm eating. In other words, don't have my phone at the table. Don't watch TV while I'm eating. Just concentrate on the food. I've really been trying to over the last 2 years to do that. And I've sort of been quite successful at it in the last few months. Just totally digital disconnection while I'm eating, because I want to focus on the food and the company also. But I think when you focus on the food, you appreciate it a lot more, where you're not just mindlessly eating, looking at the TV, because, you know, you should make it a really special occasion when you eat with intermittent fasting, particularly if you're only eating once a day. I mean, that's really is a sacred period, isn't it? You know, you're just really enjoying that eating window and that feast. And I like to eat slowly, deliberately, mindfully, because I wasn't doing that before. I had no off buttons. So anybody that feels like they open their window and they're super ravenous, and I think there's a question coming up about that. All right, so there is one here, and it says, Graham, I get very ravenous during my fasting period and I feel like I'm white knuckling. And then when it comes to opening my window, I go hell for leather, feel like I'm ripping the fridge door off and I've got no off button. How do I stop this or try to slow myself down? What I would say is, as you're coming, one, when you're coming towards the end of your eating window, I would increase your water intake, or mineral water or plain soda water or whatever you're drinking, just a little bit. Then when your window opens, I would eat something higher in fat, something like avocado, something like bacon, or maybe some protein, some chicken, eggs, something like that. If you're a coffee drinker like I am and you enjoy a bit of creamer in your coffee, maybe when you open your window, have one of them. And then just sit back in your chair or go and distract yourself. Go and do something. Go make a phone call. You know, go outside, do a bit of gardening, whatever it may be, or whatever the weather allows you to do. Just for that 5 or 10 minutes, just so you have that circuit breaker between your opener and then continuing on, and you're not just sitting there constantly eating after you've opened. Because what I'm getting a picture of is what you're saying is that you're opening and you just don't stop. So that will help you stop, and then just breaking that, having that circuit breaker, and then walk around for a bit and you'll feel that food and that getting satiated a bit. And then when it comes to your main eating window, that's just a case of slowing down. It takes practice. It took me a long time to learn about this. Mindful eating is important. I really want you to do some research about mindful eating. Slow and deliberate, the art of putting your knife and fork down on your plate instead of being in your hand constantly, or your spoon. Put it down on your plate, sit back in your chair, take a pause, think about the food that you're having and savor it. I mean, I never even knew what food tasted like. It was just volume to me. But now I actually savor it and I taste it. So that's a really important thing, is to be able to savor the food and enjoy it. And then when you get that appreciation for your feasting window, then you'll see why the fast is equally as important. And then that word value comes in, where you value your fast so much that you'll start valuing that eating window very highly. Okay, Graham, you talk about daily self-affirmations. What are they and why are they so important? Well, for me, they really turned the wheel for me a lot in terms of the way I thought about myself, the way I presented myself to others, the way I walked down the street. I used to sort of stoop. I wasn't that confident in myself. And I think just feeling good about yourself is so great. And when you tell yourself nice things, instead of self-loathing and saying horrible things about yourself, the world starts to turn. You know, what I'm talking about, positive self-affirmations, is also what we call self-care and self-love. And having some really nice things to say about yourself instead of just those horrible things that we tend to do. You know, it is bad. And, you know, like I used to be bad with it. I'd wake up in the morning and I'd say, oh, you know, it's going to be a bad day and all of this. And, you know, the roads are going to be bad. And, you know, my job's going to be bad. Those people that I work with are going to be horrible. And, you know, on and on it would go. And so yeah, for me, it's just saying something nice about myself and being positive and getting into a positive mindset and saying, you know what, Graham, it's going to be a great day today. You know, this shirt I'm wearing looks really good. You know, I'm a good father. I'm a good dad. I'm a good role model. And just say positive things like that about yourself, about how you look, instead of looking in the mirror and saying, oh, you're horrible. Your hair looks horrible. Your clothes look horrible. You know, you're fat. Your body doesn't look good. Your arms are flabby. Yeah, stop that negative self-talk and then turn that into self-positive affirmations. Everything else will change. But it'll take a while. It'll take, you know, a good month of doing that to see your mind shifting to that positive aspect. And then you become so positive that everything that you do and you draw that self-love in for yourself, and then you're able to exude that love out to everybody else around you and have that positive aura. And then the wheel starts changing with you. And then when the little things don't get so big, they don't bother you. They really don't. So just consider doing those positive self-affirmations daily and you'll be okay. I've got another one here about, Graham, what happens if IF doesn't work? What if I do it for a month and I don't see any weight loss? Well, you know, it depends on what sort of weight loss you're looking for and what your terms of no weight loss and what the other benefits are and what you've been doing personally in that month. I mean, sometimes you may see a bit of a gain when you initially get started as your body gets adjusted. So that's something to think about. You don't always just start intermittent fasting and all of a sudden the weight just falls off you. And it depends what you're doing in your eating window and also your fasting window. I mean, a lot of people start intermittent fasting. They don't know about the clean fast. They could be having bone broth, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. They could be having, you know, bulletproof coffee twice a day with butter in their coffee. You know, they could be drinking sodas while they're fasting, all of that, simply because they didn't know. But when they make that switch to the clean fast, well, then it all turns, doesn't it? And, you know, you really get those true benefits. So I think it's really important to know that, you know, that it's not going to work in the next first 5 days or the first 5 weeks even. What you want to see is the way you feel. And if you're seeing any energy changes, you're seeing any inflammation changes, and the way to do that is by taking photographs, taking measurements, and then comparing them every week or every 2 weeks, just those facial ones. Because I saw a photo the other day of a guy, he sent me, he's been doing it for 2 weeks, so I've been helping him. And just in that 2 weeks, his face was so unbelievably changed as the inflammation had come out from him. He hadn't lost a great deal of weight, but the inflammation was incredible. So that's why I say to people, take measurements like thighs, legs, chest, neck, all of that, around the arms, around your calves, and then write them down and then compare them every sort of 2-3 weeks. And then compare the photos. I mean, you get somebody to take the photos if you can't take them yourself, maybe someone close to you, and keep them for you. No one else has to see them. Put them in a place that, you know, only you can find them. You don't have to put them out in Facebook groups if you don't want to. I mean, that's entirely up to yourself. And then go back and compare them. And if you see those changes, and it's not just all about the weight loss, then write down all the subtle things that may be changing, those energy shifts I just talked about, any clarity, like your brain fog going, that sort of thing. But I know when I first started intermittent fasting, one of the things that struck me early days was the clarity, and also just how my vision was seeing everything so much sharper, like all the colors were more vivid. So it was really great. So yeah, for me, it wasn't just about weight loss. Okay, Graham, I'm setting myself up for 2024 and I want to start and have a really great year. Have you got any tips at the start of a year, what to do to keep yourself on track? Yeah, look, we did a bit of work on this in the Patreon community the other day where we talked about a letter to ourselves or a contract to ourselves. And every year I like to do that. And I was telling the Patreon members how we create these letters by using a series of keywords. And we had 1 to 12 keywords, which were around our intermittent fasting lifestyle, things like value, commitment, support, that sort of thing. And how we could use those keywords to construct the letter about an intention was also a keyword. And for me, the intention is a big one, and value, because intention and value. Okay, so the intention, what's your intention for 2024? What do you want to do? Commitment, what are you prepared to commit to do to be able to get to that health goal? Are you prepared to give up something that's hindering you from that health goal that may have been doing so in 2023 that you want to try this year? All of that type of thing. Where do I want to be in 6 or 12 months time by December 2024 or by New Year's 2025? you know, what's my plan? What's my plan when I get to maintenance if you're close there or you're not that far away? All those things you should be thinking about in that letter. But it's really just a contract to yourself. And I like to write one every year to myself. And I'm just about to write my seventh one, actually. And just tell myself about what my intention is, what my commitment is, and what my value is. Because when I talk about value, what I'm talking about there is my value in the fasting period has to be equally as good in the feasting period. So I really value highly what I'm doing in that fast. So as I said, when it comes to my eating window, I can equate that value to that. So that's really important for me. So these sorts of things I talk about in the letter to myself, I formulate the contract. You can email it to yourself. You can post it to yourself. Hey, wouldn't it be great to get a letter in the post these days, a handwritten one? Never happens, does it? Used to be, I can't remember the last time I got a handwritten letter, actually. Anyway, but yeah, a letter to yourself is a great start. Just to be consistent also is another key word you can put in there. Be consistent with your fasting. If you need to make a tweak, do so. And be aware. Be aware of what's going on with your fasting. Something's happening in your eating window that's holding you back a bit. Be aware of that. Get some knowledge. Do some research on the foods that you're having. If you have a set sort of particular lot of food groups, I mean, a lot of people, including myself, they might only have 8 or 9 things that they actually eat. They don't eat 50 things. There might just be 8 or 9 of them. So if I know, you know, those things really well and what's in them, then I sort of know how they're going to react with my body. Like I know how bread reacts with my body or blow up my weight. So I love bread with all my heart, but it doesn't love me. So it's finding those foods that loves us back. They're the ones that are going to get us to where we want to be. So yeah, that's a good way to start the year and just set your goals and your intentions with something like a letter or a contract to yourself. But be it, you know, keep that intention and review at the end of every month about where you are by reading that letter and saying, well, you know, how did I go there? And just give yourself a, you know, key performance indicator score out of 10, how you've been going. Just so while the big picture evolves of your fasting, it's a nice exercise to do. Okay, so the other one here is, Graham, I'm a really private person and I don't want to share all my gory details about my weight online with other people or be on social media. How can I get support for my intermittent fasting lifestyle? Oh, look, there's any number of ways. There's so much stuff on the internet these days. You only have to Google intermittent fasting studies or there's so many books. You know, you can read my own book, The Fasting Highway, about my own experience. There's several other authors that have got books out there on the subject that are well known. You can listen to other people's podcasts. I mean, there's 205 episodes for you to listen to on the Fasting Highway. And you can really draw on some support from those people's stories. The other way you can do it is privately. There's a lot of coaches now and intermittent fasting and mentors. I do a bit myself. And if you want to book in with me and have a one-on-one chat, I do more now than I was before. I've got more dates open and I'm allowed more time because of the support from my Patreon community, which I'm very grateful for. So I'm now able to do a bit more of that on a one-on-one basis and private. So you can have a private chat with me by booking in, by going to the Fasting Highway website, www.thefastinghighway.com. Click on coaching, get help, and you'll see a time you can book in with me. And all those times you can see are in your local time zone there. So I hope that's helpful. Okay, everybody, I'm looking forward to rolling out our next lot of guests in the podcast coming up. I hope some of those things I've said today have been helpful to you in starting your new year in 2024. I just wanted to wish you and your families all the best for the year. Really looking forward to connecting this year with so many more people, really getting stuck in and helping them find the health and wellness that I now have, as has become a burning passion for me.
Thank you for everybody that listened to the podcast in 2023. We return next week with our regular guest lineup. I just wanted to wish you and all your friends and family a fantastic 2024 and may your fasting be great. As I was saying in the podcast there, if you do want to come and join the Patreon community, please do so. It's been really encouraging seeing people get so much benefit from it. You can do that by going to that link in the show notes at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Check it out. If you're looking for some extra accountability, it's certainly a great place to be. And there's so much information there already on the platform all of the stuff that we've done so far is available to everybody that joins. Okay, folks, also, if you're interested in my own story, as I was talking about in the podcast, you can find that in my book, The Fasting Highway. It's on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. If you want the audio version, you can find that on things like Spotify, Kobo, audiobooks.com, Apple Books, that sort of thing. There's many, many audiobook platforms that the audiobook is on if you prefer the audio version. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.